Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word. From everyone around the world, welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the April 17th, 2020 edition. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. Sitting virtually across from me is my co-host, the man who keeps everything moving. His toes are all doing something important, I'm told, Mr. JT. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. This is strange, again. It never feels normal. We've done this, 4 weeks now? Is this the fourth week?
Somewhere around there.
Full month, right?
At least.
That's crazy. So, wow. This is the longest we haven't been together doing a show.
I miss you.
No, you don't. I saw what you were saying to me when the mic was off. All right. Anyway, we're happy to be here. We're happy to be able to join all of you as well. We see there's a good amount of people here in the chat room. I see Jim there. I see George. I see Ben. I see Zach. I see Media or Med Lab Rat, who we know. That's Amanda. There's some great people here. Yes. So we are really, really happy to be here with you and to be able to share in camaraderie. Really quick, before I get into the thing, I want to kind of announce the announcement we came to this last week.
Yes.
JT, how's everything going with you, my friend?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's school and work, and that's about it. And school's online, so it's work, home, school, sleep, the usual. Other than that, it's okay. It's not too bad. I was kind of happy when we had snow, colder weather. I know a lot of other people don't like it, but that's okay.
Yeah, you can just keep that like and snow thing in your back pocket because I was not a fan. I saw that and I'm like, you know, I was talking to someone from south of France. I was talking to someone in Italy right now. And of course, Italy's had a rough time recently. And France has had a rough time too, but everybody's having a hard time. But I was also sitting there going, and I was looking outside and it's snowing. I even told Cliff Brooks in Georgia. I was like, I took a picture. I was like, here you are, jackass. Look at this. So at any rate, that's good. I'm glad you're happy with it.
Yeah. And now we're going to warm back up and I'm going to be a little meh. Actually, it's not too bad. First portion. It's about mid June is when I start to get really irritated with it.
We start schwitzing.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Well, good. I understand. All right. So really quickly, two things. JT, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. On the 19th, so Sunday,
okay.
I am going to be featured on or one of the featured people on Dante's Old South from NPR in Chattanooga, Tennessee, being interviewed about poetry and World Poetry Open Mic. I've already recorded the interview. So that's going to be going up this Sunday, and then there'll be a replay you know, a podcast version of that too.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So there'll be a lot of people within the hearing range of that who will be hearing about the show. Hopefully that helps spread the word. But then this is the more important thing. And JT and I were kind of talking about this last week. And, you know, if you're like us, we're sitting around kind of feeling powerless to do something. And there's a lot of people having a rough time out there. One of the things that really occurred to me was that we can fight back kind of with poetry, which sounds funny because, you know, poets walking into a hospital might not be a great idea right now.
It wouldn't be allowed. But anyway, yeah. It
wouldn't be allowed because JT would be the one who'd stop us.
That's right.
So we had this idea, and I want to see what everybody thinks, but I really think this might be a great thing. We were thinking about doing a anthology, a COVID, you know, the pandemic anthology, maybe calling it Howl or something like that, Dennis, like you mentioned in the chat room earlier, and then taking all of the proceeds and all of the proceeds of that going to the Red Cross. If everybody in the chat room is interested in that, you know, we'd just be taking submissions through World Poetry Open Mic at Gmail. We put it together. We'd have it out within a couple of weeks. So, and then all of that would just be something that we're donating. All right, cool. Dennis is in. Jim's in. I'm in. JT, are you in?
Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Are you gonna write something?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good. The haiku master must warm up his pen.
Well, yes. I think it's right over there.
All right, cool. Well, so okay, any rate, and I'll mention this a few times through the show because I know we have people who join us a little bit later also. So let's do it then. Let's do it. So we'll be accepting submissions up until, I don't know, what do you want to say, a week from this coming Sunday? So that gives us a little bit over a week to send things in. And if you can send them in just to World Poetry Open Mic and just kind of indicate that, you know, you would like for it to be in the anthology there. I'll put it together. We'll get it up and we'll donate the money. All right. Are you all right, my friend?
Yeah. Okay. I was reading the chat and then poor Amanda can't listen.
Oh, yeah.
Because the connection's bad tonight. Do we want to go with just a week or give them two?
Well, we can do two, but I was hoping to try to get it out
quick turnaround. Quickly. Absolutely.
But I mean, I can do a quick turn. I can do a fairly quick turnaround with the design, but it's kind of rough.
Right. Okay. You know?
Okay. Anyway, yeah. if anybody else thinks that we need to do an extension, let me know.
But we'll put them through the submission and label it anthology.
Absolutely. Just COVID anthology. Label it through the anthology. Yes. Okay. Yes. I think that's the thing. So I finally got a couple books that I need to get. I needed to get kind of done and designed almost off my plate this week. So once I have that done, I can start really focusing on this. Well, Amanda, we hope you can make this work. We hope you can make this work. We love to have you on the show and have you listening. Okay. So, JT, before I get into the rules, anything that we need to cover other than that?
No, I think that's it.
Do we need to do the... We don't do the
not until thing yet. Well,
okay.
We could.
I can't really see because the mouse menu is covering up the...
Oh, I am so sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
Did that work or...
No, that was me. Oh, that was all me, JT. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
That was all me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, cool. So yes or no? I should. Shouldn't
yes.
I?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're being all cryptic over here. So we're trying to figure out when I'm supposed to announce the identity of this month's Poet of the Month. We're good at this. JT, we're good at this show, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So basically, for anybody who's listening, we do, for the first 2 weeks of every month, we'll give three clues each week to the identity of some poet. And then on the third show of that month, we will actually unveil who their identity is. So before I say who the person is, let me just recount the clues. Week one, Tales of Wonderland spark the imagination. It's not who you think it is, just by that clue. Number two, children fashioned transportation bears the given name. That's a lot closer. Three, between verses, the classroom, the workplace. All right. There's week two. A surprise surrounded by water. Two, books rewritten to include the young ones. And three, a trip to Gollywog. All right. You ready, JT? Do the drum rolls. Very good. The poet of the month is... Gertrude Chandler Warner. Gertrude Chandler Warner was an American author, mainly of children's stories. She was most famous for writing the original book of The Boxcar Children and for the next 18 books in the series. She was a teacher at the same time she was writing. And in fact, when things started getting more published, there are several times where she took a book and rewrote it for children. Her first short story that she wrote that is of renown was called Gollywog at the Zoo. And so if you look back at those clues, they're all right on point. When I said children, fashion, transportation bears a name. Boxcar Children. All right. So I'm going to be putting this information up here within the next few minutes on our World Poetry Open Mic page under Poet of the Month, so you can find out more about her. But our poet of the month is author, poet, Gertrude Chandler Warner. JT, you are trigger happy with that, my friend.
You better believe I am.
Okay. That's tenuous strands of power. Okay. All right. That was amazing. I don't think I've ever heard you be that excited on the air before. All right. So actually, I think from here on out, when I say tenuous strands of power, we should have some big celebration we'll record for you.
Ooh, all right. That'll be great.
Yes. So before we get into the callers, let me lay down the rules of the show, because we do this every time. So here we go. Rule number one, no hate speech. We never had that on the show. We never will. Rule number two, please skew PG-13 if you can, so we can have this be a friendly place for families, for kids. However, we're not in the business of censoring you, so if there's a good flow going, we may not jump in. But if it gets gratuitous, we reserve the right to do so. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when you come on. When you come on the line, it's respectful for the flow of this show and for the other people who are listening and participating. Same thing with rule number four. Please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. It's just the right thing to do. Once again, it's etiquette. And the fifth one is for JT and myself. We're doing a lot of things during the show. It's really hard for us to remember when someone mentions something, but we really want to. So if you have suggestions, if you have thoughts, send them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or put them in the contact form on our site. That way we'll see them and we actually will talk about them. JT and I actually started meeting up again, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row over Zoom.
It feels good, too.
It does. It feels good. So we actually are discussing the backlog of things that we hear about the show and kind of discussions. So so this is really good. All right. We need 5 unique callers. We also have 3 submissions tonight, JT, so far. Looking forward to it.
It's good stuff.
The number 7. Yeah, it's going to be good. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And like a shot out of the blue, we're back here with the first segment. Actually, not like a shot out of the blue. You should have been expecting this. But
I hope so.
Here we are. Yeah, well, I mean, you hope that people are expecting us to come back. That's then right. Again, we have had 1 or 2 times where it didn't happen.
Yeah, those were interesting nights.
Well, I mean, what was our last time we had something like that was...
last
was it just
summer.
This last year with Mixler?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Mixler going out, yeah.
That was a very rough night for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had other rough nights, too. On power the air, outages. By the way, on the air, power outages.
That was last year, too.
Last year, yeah. We had some crazy stuff. We had a power outage. Remember with the time that you
tethered the entire
show to your phone and you ran the entire show off your phone?
That was great to chew up my data for the month.
Man, that's crazy. Anyway, here we are. We're back. We've got five great poets lined up here, but we also have a submission, and I'm just going to dive right into that if that's okay.
Sounds good.
All right, here we go. This is from a great friend of the show, Natalia Govsha. We always love her work. She's always just so kind and so just so loving with everything she does, and her work is great. So here we go. This is Cross by Natalia Govsha. Sometimes the pain unbearable so that we can't. Let me start that again. I screwed that up. I'm sorry, everybody. Cross by Natalia Govsha. Sometimes the pain unbearable so that even we can't cry, just lie down and die. To help us, the tears fall from the sky, and heavens trying to take on their shoulders a piece of our cross divine. And a voice whispers, someone's thoughtful voice, arise and go. You have no choice. To everyone the cross is given, ratable of the strength of his shoulder. Your cross will put your soul across. Last journey, River Styx. Your cross, your holder. And that is called Cross by Natalia Govsha. And she finishes it with the postscript saying, be safe, be healthy. And yes, that is a wish for all of you as well. Yes. We hope that everybody is being safe and being healthy. Now, if you want to submit a poem like Natalia does, and like the other poets you have on the show that I'll be reading later, you can do so. Go to worldpoetryopenmic.com, put in the contact form, indicate that it's a submission to be read on the show, or you can do it at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com and just indicate the same thing there. We will read it for you on the air, and I won't screw it up like I just did that last one. All right, let's head to our first caller here. Let's go to George in Michigan and check in with him, see how everything's going.
And I won't screw it up.
Like, hello, George. How are you, sir?
All right, let's head to our first caller here. Let's go to George in Michigan.
Hello, George. How are you?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah, right, happy to hear your voice. How's everything where you are? Is it kind of good. Still in the never ending spiral of insanity that we're in here too?
Yes. Well, you know that our governor got into a little row with number 45, mm-hmm. and he canceled spring.
I heard that. It was a bit of a hissy fit, and, wasn't it?
Yeah. He canceled our spring, so I got the damn shovel again, and I did brush off the car, snow, and all that kind of stuff. So, well, maybe he'll be in better moods this next week, you know, and we can get some spring back.
I don't know. When anybody talks to me from a podium, I quake.
Yeah, I wish there'd be an earthquake when that is out there, but that we'll have to see. Anyway, this is. But actually, around here, my family, my wife, myself, and so forth, everybody is healthy, as far as I know.
Good.
And we are plugging along. It really hasn't been misery for us. Well, we're old, so what's different? Can't go anywhere. No, we didn't go anywhere.
So, yeah, JT's losing his mind over here.
Pardon?
JT's losing his mind, I guess. He's really, he can't stand not going anywhere but work.
Well, you guys are just kids. You still want to go out, you know. I'm, some of us say going out, that's something we did in the 70s. We haven't done it since. but anyway, Dennis and I were on the phone tonight trying to guess this POM thing. And, we were talking about how there's so much good, so many good people, so many good stories coming out of this. And there's bad, but, there's so much, you know, I haven't lost hope in the American public, at least yet.
Neither have I.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I have a choice. If we do that, you know. Anyway. The one I thought two tonight, but I think I'm going to go with the Sir Satter one first and then brighten it up with a cover later. This one I just wrote the other day, and I don't think I read it on here. It's called Soli Mori, or it's Latin for They Die Alone. It is subtraction without addition, a lose-lose proposition. Under the plague, they bear the weight of infirmity and age, Soli Mori. Families turned away, all hopes crumbling, and the worst of ironies, just when they want to say goodbye, they cannot. Else, they may transfer their death to others. The outgoing death toll adds up in tears. And the cars buzz past the nursing home, splashing rain on the sign. They reminisce of times long gone. We tune our lives within our song. Our stories hardly ring a bell. To youthful minds, it's hard to sell. So on we mutter without a voice. Our sorrow is summed up on a card left in the lobby. Too meek to spark a meager choice. The dignity of age is gone, and in its place, just Soli Mori. End of peace.
That was a really powerful thing to start with. I think, well done, George, first of all.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thinking about these people in these nursing homes is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, luckily I don't have anybody right now that in my family that's in that condition, but whenever this thing is not over, contrary to what some people think.
No, it's definitely not, because we just want it to be over. Is it? It's,
we could get, yeah. I mean, you know, some people have the nerve to cancel things like worldwide wrestling and golf courses and, going out and bumping into people and breathing on them and all this stuff. I don't understand it, but, yeah.
the human race is an interesting group of people, turns out, I will say with what you wrote about, it became pretty, pretty realistic in the world of a close friend of mine. His father, who had been put into a care facility for Alzheimer's, just tested positive for COVID, just tested positive today officially. And they're just trying to keep him comfortable because he's so at risk at this point. They think there's nothing.
Oh, yes.
And
yes, there is.
It's real. It's real. You know,
It is. And you got to keep plugging along. By the way, on a brighter side of what to do about the enemies of health that we have in our country. There are certain people who are the enemies of public health. And Dennis and I were talking, and I think we created a nice idea. You remember the scratch and sniff cards you used to send out?
Yes.
We could put a little bit of the virus on a scratch and sniff card and send it out to certain people.
Across labeled as something else than a gift.
Yeah, I was going to say, so to any law enforcement or intelligence officials that may now be listening to this recording.
we didn't really say that.
Yeah, of course.
I was just in one of my sicker modes, you know.
I'm trying to keep as balanced and intelligent of a perspective as possible. And I guess that's it.
I know. And I blaspheme things sometimes, but it's worth part of fun. Okay. I'll step over and let number two, whoever it is, come and straighten things out for you.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
And that was George calling from Michigan. I'm glad he was able to get some, get stuff working tonight. That was really solid.
Yes.
And it's great to hear his voice leading off. It seems like we've got to have usually a caller from Michigan locking down the first spot for whatever reason. Now, I know Ellie isn't called from Michigan anymore, but didn't she used to call from Michigan?
No.
Is she always called from the other?
Always called from PA.
Ah, I just forgot.
It's okay.
yeah. Yeah, I so had it in my head that she's from Michigan. Anyway, all right, so let's head now to upstate New York. Let's go to Zach. Hey, Zach. Good evening.
Hey, I'm home. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Hey, Zach, by the way, I am like within 20 minutes of being done with your book.
Oh, my God, that's so amazing. Thank you guys so much for all that you do, and especially you. Thank you for all the hard work you put in. I know it's gonna make a difference once I get the approval from the Jed Foundation to co-work with me. I think a lot of big difference could be made.
Absolutely, absolutely, and not even just from that, but think about the kind of difference you'll be able to make just connecting with the people who are going to read your book. I think that's a really exciting thing for me too.
Absolutely. So, how are you guys? How have you guys been dealing with everything?
Well, JT, you answer that first.
Not too bad. You know, staying at home, trying to.
Well, you're not staying at home compared to other people.
Correct. I do have to go into work. Sit, wait for a patient, pop on my mask real quick, and then, process that system. But other than that, I'm doing good. Trying to avoid people, which is okay. I'm an only child. I know how to do it. And then I also know how to entertain myself. So we're good. Michael?
Well, I've taken to chewing off my feet. So right now,
that's
I'm
good.
Not particularly mobile. No, I'm doing all right, Zach. One of the things that's been pretty amazing is watching how, there was a lot of time and then suddenly workload starts to expand again. And you're like, wait a second, why is everything taking me so long now? So I'm having to kind of be intelligent and try to find a way to keep that kind of work creep from happening where I could just work all hours of the day, all hours of the night. And I'm trying to actually get to a point where I can try to take some time to think. So that's where I'm, excuse me. I was up very early this morning and I had a very full day today. So, yes. So it's, that's something I'm trying to work on is because everything's so small. Now that I'm staying home so much, there's like no commute time. I'm really trying to be intelligent with how I use my time. What about you?
It's been good. I decided to start playing video games again just to have something to do. Because staying out of my head is a very important thing for me, and the video games is a good distraction from that. And so I've been doing that, and I am a little nervous because we have started the rule that all essential employees at all businesses must wear masks at all times, and that's really nerve-wracking for me because I have severely sensitive skin and I have my hearing aids and I have my glasses all going on at the same time. I was telling my friend, a couple of years ago, I was wearing my seatbelt and my skin was so sensitive that the seatbelt would actually rub into it so much that it started bleeding because it was getting so raw. I had to get a protective cover for that. And I've had so many surgeries on my ears. My ears are so sensitive. I'm worried that how that's going to work out. But I start that tomorrow.
Well, that's not on my ears specifically, but I've had quite a few. Kind of things like that, and it's rough. It's rough. I mean, the only choice you have is to keep going, right? So that's the, I can feel for you. I can feel for you, but I also understand the energy of, do the best you can and get up and go. Right.
Right. But I mean, it's only for 4 hours. My work right now is 4 hours. it was definitely a little painful seeing my check last week was $8.03. So definitely hurt to see that because, I mean, I have $200 direct deposited into my savings so that I can have some money saved each week, but and then the rest is a take-home pay, like, you know, something like just spending money. And normally I have like $130, and last week I had $8, and this week I didn't get a paycheck. I didn't work enough to make enough to have take-home pay.
That's, I think the last time I got a check like that was from a royalty statement for some music at one point. I got a check that cost less than the postage to send it.
That's impressive.
It made me laugh. I didn't even cash it. I just put it up on the wall and, you know, thought it was funny. You know, there's, and the thing, it's funny, and this is funny for me to say it like this, but I don't mean it dismissively, is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there right now that have no check coming in and they're really worried about it. I mean, this is, as far as we've seen, this is the worst unemployment in the history of the country. And, I hope it starts correcting itself soon, but you know, we've got to think about the economy after health. I think that's the important thing.
Should.
Right. Well, you know, I'll just get right into the poem. Tonight is actually a cover because I have a lot of inspirational work, but I don't really have any work that's really lighthearted. So that was still effective. So I actually found this piece from a follower of mine on Hello Poetry. His name is Joey. This poem is called Viewfinder, and you know, it's really lighthearted, and I think it's a good piece to share. So this is Viewfinder by Joey. A puppy does not know how to not chew through the shoes, the papers, and the things that are new. A cat will sleep for hours and then want to play. I think with babies it may be the same. A star will fall from the heavens, and the sun will shine, and even though the rain will feel like it's a sign. A bird will sing love songs in the midst of a storm, and my heart will mend soon and find a new norm. A rainbow will brighten the path today, even for a moment, because that's the way it's meant to be. A spring will find its way to the sea and be set free, and I will not let hard times be all that I see. End of piece.
Good choice for the cover.
Mm-hmm. Solid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we all need something really lighthearted, and I think that was a really interesting thing. You know, thinking how things are similar, but you know, positive things, and you know, looking at something and. You know, making sure not to focus on all the negative.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's only one way to go. You know, like, I think that's the thing I've realized too, is when I am caught in my head, as you talked about, which I think is a place we all need to kind of focus on getting out of sometimes, you know, I become so caught up in thinking about the past, thinking about, as you said, baggage and things like that. And really the only way is forward. Like, I can't go back. So I've got to figure out a way to move forward. And then sometimes getting out of your head is just the right thing to do at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, that's all for me. I mean, I know that for now, I mean, I know that you've got three other fantastic callers. I will step aside and let them through, and I will talk to you guys during the return engagement.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Zach. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. And that was Zach Kahn from upstate New York, number two in our first segment here. And I'm getting kind of warm in here, JT. Then I realized for no reason I'm wearing a jacket.
Wow. Well done, sir.
Yeah, I think it's funnier, one, that I'm wearing a jacket inside, but two, that I forgot I was wearing said jacket. Was wondering why I was so hot. All right, let's go now to the dill pickle capital of the country. I think they all greet each other by saying dilly dilly or something like that. Let's go to Jim now in Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, sir?
I have no idea, but when I find out, run.
You better. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Sounds good.
Exactly. How are you holding up?
Doing pretty well.
Good.
Yes, I'm one of the essential personnel at Penn State Hershey Medical Center, so I got to go.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. JT is essential also, so it's his wife at the VA. So
yeah, but you know, but it, well, for what he said, he doesn't have to go into the patient's rooms.
No,
he doesn't at all. They walk in, he just tells them to piss off and go that direction.
I'll go in and I'll tell the patients, I'll come to pick a wee fight when the gym's dirt in your room. And of course, now I'm at the children's hospital and there's like, most of them don't have no idea what I'm talking about because they're newborns.
Right.
Newborns have no sense of humor, man. No sense of humor.
They're just like,
yeah. Yeah, man, you go and you try to crack even like why did the duck cross the road? Those guys, once was a man from Nantucket. Nothing, man. They don't respond at all. All right. Before we get off riffing, because I can feel like where this is gonna go, I'm gonna give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All right. You said I should read page 52. So picture show. House lights dimming in the darkened hall, the patrons seated there, greeted by discordant sights and sounds, assaulting their avant-garde senses, found they liked the picture show. End of poem.
Very nice. JT, that was you, the chair.
Yeah, 52, I like that. It? I like that.
That was cool. Yeah, I've got that book within arm's reach, or arm and a half's reach of where I'm sitting right now. On my, well, yeah, I can't reach it like from right here. I have to, like, if I gave me another half arm, I could make it happen.
I'm going to make that happen. But, I am going to make that happen.
I might be able to help you with that since I do work at a hospital.
You know, if you have an extra half arm laying around, let me know.
That ain't.
Next time you walk into a room, you're like, anybody have any spare body parts laying around I can take? I got a friend in Colorado who needs one. All right. Well, now that I've just done my like worst Scottish accent of all time, I would call this call a success. Jim, this is great, man. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you shortly, okay?
Hey.
All right. Bye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania.
Oh, man. Arm and a half. Yep.
An arm and a half.
I'm going to have to make that happen for you.
I have that arm and a half twice. Doesn't mean anything. It means nothing.
Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're not talking about anything, JT. Okay. That's the whole point.
Oh.
We're just riffing at this point.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's what we're doing. That's the technical term.
Got it.
All right, now we're going to head to Vancouver, British Columbia to check in with Egon, who we haven't talked to in a few weeks. Hello, Egon. How are you, sir?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. We're, Denver, Colorado got a nice snowstorm yesterday, so it's been a bit cold. But, you know, we're all stuck inside, basically, like probably everyone else is. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Things are going along very well. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be quarantined. Well, we are to a degree, at least in our condo. My wife and I haven't tried to strangle each other yet. As a matter of fact, good. The scariest thing is that it almost seems like we're headed for a second honeymoon. And that is scary.
That's where it's scary, huh?
Yeah, especially at my vintage. Anyway, no, the thing is, we're fortunate. We're right down on the coast. We have fresh sea breezes each and every day. The last 3 weeks have been very sunny, and so we go out for walks and what have you, but it's really amazing how people will actually cross over to the other side of the street if we're on the same sidewalk. But hey, it is what it is, and I don't think the world will ever be the same until they find a cure. And even then, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
It really will. I think there's, and the thing is, realizing that this isn't even the scariest thing out there. This is just the thing that really took hold in a big way, and just watching how it kind of changes and shapes everything is really, really fascinating. The other thing I keep realizing is the reality of the world, the reality of the economy, is not necessarily my personal reality. You know, I could be in a totally different place in a lot of, you know, mentally and, you know, kind of job wise and everything. But that doesn't extract me from needing to be respectful of other people. So like what you're mentioning with going for a walk, I'm going for a walk almost every day now. And if I see someone, sometimes if it's crowded, I will cross the other side for them, you know, not for me necessarily.
Yeah. And as far as reality is concerned, I mean, this is the only person whose reality is being impacted is the mental White House midget. And I mean, let's face it, that's about the long and short of it. I mean, as far as anybody else is concerned, yeah, everybody needs a paycheck. There's no question. But I'm sure that we will all muddle through, and especially if you stop and think about history, not only, let's say, the last 500-600 centuries, but even just the last century with the Spanish flu. And then, you know, we had SARS and we had HIV and all that stuff. And we've all the medical profession has overcome a lot of that stuff. And I'm sure that we will do the same here with the coronavirus.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
My biggest fear is that once after the summer is over, that we're going to have resurgence. But anyway, so much for the politics. I had written something that I had a kind of an interesting discussion with one of my nephews who trying to find religion, and he was questioning, you know, how an acorn could turn into such a huge tree. So here's what I wrote. It's called Divine Engineering. There are those who believe in divine engineering and those who simply do not. It has been an ongoing argument between creation and evolution. Some ask, how can one reconcile how an acorn can become a mighty oak tree? Over eons, man has created deities to explain many mysteries. In ancient Egypt, Ra was the goddess of the sun that traveled across the azure sky, while in Greek mythology, goddess Selene drove her moon chariot through the heavens. Zeus, king of the gods, who sat on Mount Olympus, was in charge of sky and thunder. The pagan belief by man in these deities had served him well over the ages. Then along came a new story about an immaculate conception and birth, a story that was written almost 400 years after the event took place, written by men who had been steeped in ancient mysteries, looking for a new way. A religion was born to explain why Ra and Selene no longer rule the skies. End of peace.
You're speaking my language in that right now. I've been spending a lot of time in that kind of the setting of that piece. I've been having to spend a lot of time in because of some writing I'm trying to get through at the moment. So that really hit me in a place where my mind has been recently.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I think the last time I was on, it was just shortly after I had written a poem on life because I lost a step-grandson. And I also went on to write a piece about religion because, quite honestly, I am not... I consider myself spiritual, but I'm not religious. Sure. And if anything, I'm more agnostic. So this was part of where I'm at, also trying to figure out what's what and so forth. And I'm sure that you'll hear more from me in regards to this. However, right now I'm going to relinquish my spot because I'm sure there's a lot of other people hanging on the line.
Egon, thank you for coming. It is a real treat to hear from you, and I really did like that piece. I'm looking forward to more of them if they come about for you. So thank you.
You're more than welcome, and I'll try and get back on if I can. Otherwise, I'll catch up with you guys in another week.
Sounds great.
All righty, sir. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Egon Kahn from Vancouver, British Columbia, the number 4 caller in our first segment. There's been some great work. It's really varied tonight, though, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it has.
Yeah. I mean, it usually by this point, we kind of have a sense of the tone of the show. And not that things don't change. And this isn't a bad thing at all. But I really think it's kind of up for grabs what the tone of the show is tonight.
Yeah.
So far. It hasn't really happened yet. But we still got heavy hitters coming. We still got more submissions. We still got other segments. But we've got a guy who normally leads us off here, has been with us the longest time. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
No.
Hello.
Hey,
Dennis, you there?
No, he's not. Hey, Dennis, if you could go ahead and hang up and call us right back and we'll take you live, okay? We're having that Skype thing.
Oh, that Skype thing. So I started taking cold showers today.
Yeah. How's it going?
I was telling you about it. It's not for any weird reason. It's because of a workout program. My eyes have been open, JT.
This is good.
Hello, Dennis. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm back.
Wonderful.
All right. Thank you for calling us back. I know that can be a little tricky.
Yeah, it just seemed to drop right at the last second. That's mighty odd, but hey, I'm willing to play the game just to be on World Poetry Open Mic on Friday nights because it's worth it.
well, thank you. And if it's any consolation, any games we ask you to play, JT is playing at least eight times as many games at the same time. So,
I know, and I tip my hat to him. What a master of mini crafts he is.
Yes, absolutely. So how are you holding up where you are?
Things are going well. We're laying low. Keep ducking the social exchange, and we're just trying to be good citizens. So we aren't promoting any viruses, but we are promoting the goodwill and hope and smiles.
There you go. I like that. So no protests, huh? Okay.
Not me.
All right.
If I take time to count my blessings, I don't have time to protest.
That right there is probably one of the best things we're going to hear all night. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm going to remember that. Yeah. I'm going to write it down, actually. But what do you have for us this evening?
All right. Well, we were trying to find the poet of the month. We jumped down some wrong rabbit holes. And one of the possible answers to your the quiz was, we thought it might be Enid Blyton, which it wasn't, but she wrote a lot of delightful poetry, and I printed a little bit just so I'd be ready, because I thought that was the right one. But alas, I'm wrong, but no sense in wasting her poetry, So I'm going to share with you tonight a poem by Enid Blyton, and the title is April Showers. "What? Take an umbrella out on such a fine day?" cried an elf to his mother and frowned. "Just look at the sunshine, so golden and gay, and the sky is quite blue all around." Off he went skipping in a new suit of yellow. But before he had gone far, there blew up a cloud, an enormous big fellow. You know what these April clouds are. And down came a shower that pelted and stung and soaked the poor elf with a sigh. He squeezed out his new suit and carefully hung the tunic and knickers to dry. The sun shone out warmly and dried them again. But alas, when he tried to get dressed, he found they had shrunk in the soft April rain. So he had to walk home in his vest. And now, pray be careful, since April is here, that you are not caught like the elf. Watch out for the clouds, and when they come near, do hurry and shelter yourself. End of poem, a poem by Enid Blyton.
Good choice for a cover.
Yeah.
Good choice. Yeah. I'm happy it took you to that end there. Sorry if my clues were too dense, but it gave us that poem.
You didn't hear me say that.
I try to not make them too on the nose, because it's you know, it's no fun when everybody gets it on the first clue, but there's kind of that fine line that gets hard to do sometimes.
Well, yes, it is.
Okay, hello, I'll work Michael. I'll work on it, Dennis.
No, I wasn't complaining. I don't want want you to think so. It's fun looking up the wrong poets, even. So it's a win-win situation.
Well, it was a win-win for us this evening, so that it brought us you covering that, which was lovely.
Yes. Well, thanks for letting me read. Thanks for letting me be part of the first segment. And I know we're going to move on to some more great poets, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm going to step aside and let the next poets step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you so much. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, ending our first segment. All right. Yeah, I'm going to have to work on being a little bit better about those clues, not making them too dense. I remember driving across Texas with David Bradley.
Yeah.
You remember this? And I called in to give the clues because yes. You and Christine were doing the show. And after I read the clues, I hung up and he looks over at me and he goes, "Those were really hard." I'm like, "Well, yeah, these are poets, though. Like,
right?
They have the internet in front of them. Like, I assume they'll be able to pull it up." But of course, you driving a car through Texas in the middle of the night is not going to know the answers for sure. So, anyway, thank you for playing. When you do it, it definitely is fun for me as well. All right, so we need 5 more unique callers. We're heading into the second segment. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again, 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Hey, mister.
Hey.
Hey, mister, do you like poetry?
Sure.
Get in the van.
Okay.
World Poetry Open Mic. Does this smell like chloroform to you?
All right, and we are back. Man, that's aged well, hasn't it?
Well, I mean.
Well, hey, you know, chloroform still has the same effect. That's how I fall asleep every night.
Would you rather change this over to, you know, like, Rufalin or?
No. I think
a little worse.
I think the chloroform is still pretty good.
Yeah.
When you're as amped as I am to do anything, you want to, when you need to sleep, you go stand right at the top of your bed or like your,
you know,
behind you, if you fell back, your bed's there and you're just like chloroform, you're out. And
that's how I
do it.
Unless you smash your face into the wall the other way.
You can tilt it. You kind of lean.
Oh,
back,
you lean,
so like
lean just to make sure.
Gravity, JT.
Oh, okay. Because otherwise, man, I'm just like stand up straight, boom, and I'm gonna hit the wall. I'm not gonna hit my bed.
Why do you think that's gonna happen?
Because I'm top heavy.
Fair enough.
It's my head. My head will hit a wall versus
and
the
that
bed
beard.
Every time.
I think that beard would protect you if you fell into the wall, though.
I don't know.
Either way, people don't realize this, and I think I might have mentioned this, but I'm going to reiterate to everybody listening right now that JT's beard is starting to approach Greek mythology kind of levels here.
We're going for a Leonidas kind of thing.
JT, mark my words, man. We're going to get you into a gym. We're going to get you just jacked. You're going to have a huge beard, and you're going to look amazing. Gonna happen.
Yeah.
All right. Here. Well, we're here in the second segment. We've got a great submission and we have two poets lined up, and then we're gonna head into the return engagement after that, but not right now. So since we're starting the first segment, we're gonna go right to a submission. This is from Ashanti Dickerson. And as far as I can tell, it doesn't have a title. So this is untitled from Ashanti Dickerson. When I took my first steps to the broken promises you've never kept, my first dance to your last chance, I've always asked, where are you now? You leave your seventh daughter in the hospital when I could have been dying. When I stopped breathing, you wasn't there, but why? You say, we'll come, but I always end up in tears. You were supposed to be the daddy to scare away all the fears. You were supposed to tell me you loved me every day, in every way. You were supposed to tell me I was daddy's little girl. In the daddy-daughter's dance, you were supposed to take me for a twist and a twirl when I was in church. You weren't supposed to make me cry every day. You weren't supposed to make me wonder why. Was it me? Was it something I said? Hell no. You wouldn't care if I was dead. You dropped me like I didn't exist as your child. Leave when you said you'll see me. You lost me as your daughter, and when you called me out my name in ninth grade. So where are you now? Not a friend, dad, not even a father. I wonder what I always done to you to deserve this hurt and pain. My little brother will have his father. His father even took me in as his daughter, but I can't take it anymore. But only dad figure I want is you. I want you here for my 18th birthday. I always cry on holidays. I thought you were going to show up. I always cry when my birthday comes. This year for prom, I wanted you to be there. I just want you to step up and be a father to me like you do your other kids. Now you're married with other kids. Like, why not be in my life? Do you not understand I'm hurting inside? I just want you in my life, Dad. Can you do that for me, please? Wow. And that is from Ashanti Dickerson. Wow. Part poetry, part stream of conscious. And it feels, although I don't know, but I'm assuming, it feels very authentically felt. And yeah, I find that really, really deeply kind of moving. And Ashanti, if you're listening, thank you for sending that in. And I'm sorry that you're feeling that way. And I'm sorry that you're going through this. We're all with you. So please keep sending things in. We would love to hear from you. All right. Moving on from that submission, let's head now to the live callers. We're going to head to Stan in Alabama as soon as Skype catches up. Hello, Stan. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good. Wow.
I know.
What a powerful piece. Whoa.
You're telling me. Wow. it's hard to know what
to
say after that.
I'm trying to catch my breath after reading that one, too. That one, whoa, man.
Well, and one of the things I try to do is I scan the poems before I read them just to make sure there's, you know, like no hate speech stuff like we talked about. But beyond that, I don't read it because I want to be discovering it at the same time. And and as I was going into it, it's like, man, this is a real, really intense part, intense thing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah.
How are you holding up, sir? How's everything where you are?
Well, busy.
Yeah.
Busy, but in a way blessed because I am busy. Don't have time to really think about much.
Now that is really good. Now, are you is everybody still under quarantine where you are? I haven't been following Alabama.
Oh well, yeah, we've got. I guess you could call it a quarantine. You know, for the most part, people are pretty much, you know, keeping the distance. Some are wearing masks, some aren't, but everyone's kind of keeping that social distance.
Sure.
Stores are only allowing, even stores as big as Walmart are only allowing so many people in at a time. So you've got lines outside and people 6 feet apart like that. But, okay. You know, up here on the mountain, we're still busy pulling off trees and building things. So, you know, we're out and about anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're in Colorado, they're really trying to keep the whole, you're essential. You can go to work, but you're kind of encouraged to wear a mask in public, and you know probably all the stuff that most people are doing now anyway. But in Colorado, yeah. I've noticed that a lot of people are really kind of trying to comply here in Colorado. Colorado's been pretty good about it so far. So we'll see what happens. But I think people are pretty serious at least here about trying to make it happen. But we still want to restart our economy. We want to hurry up if we can, you know.
Yeah, you know, and then, like I said, there's that inherent danger there, too. You crank it back up, man. Everybody gets out there and runs around, you know, but, hey, you got to do something. I mean, you know, I was telling one guy on one broadcast, you know, we are in a situation with this pandemic. The world could end up back in 1929, and that would be some scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
True. I think let's just have to do the best thing we can and just kind of hope for the best at the same time, huh?
Exactly, my friend.
Yeah. Well, sir, what do you have for us this time?
I have an echo verse.
All right. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
What told of poets and their verses? Says we flow ink from our hearts. Hearts of the matter thus extolled, told to others, inspiration starts. Starts the process of enlightenment, meant to move all souls to light. Light the way, illuminating minds. Mind's dawn dispels shadows of night. In peace.
Ah, see, that made me happy. I really enjoyed that one.
Oh, thank you. I know it didn't have that as one of the criteria, but I decided I was going to put a rhyme in it anyway.
No, I mean, you know, it's kind of like we have poetic forms, and I think it's used as, in my opinion, maybe there's some poetry professors who'd kill me for this one, but I always look at it as something to help you structure your thinking first. And then whatever the art is dictating after that. But I was telling someone the other day that it wasn't until I started writing specifically poetry and then writing books and songs that I started learning how to think. I really had to learn how to think to make these things work. And I feel like that's what a poetic form does, you know?
Yes, it is. It basically helps you to discipline and focus.
Yeah. Writing a book, for me anyway, was definitely a thing where I had to learn to be really clear with my thinking. And I'm very thankful for that process, you know?
I agree. I agree. And this is what I'm thankful for. You just gave me a new toy to play with.
All right. That makes me happy, too. That's great. Wonderful.
Well, my friend, we've got another poet to go before the return engagement, so on to the next.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
All right. Bye.
You bet. Bye.
And that was Stan calling from Alabama, leading off our second segment, at least the live callers in the second segment. All right. Well, JT, should we head to Barbara in Connecticut?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
You just gave me a new toy to play with.
All right. Hello, Barbara. Great.
Wonderful. Well, my friend, we've got another poet to go before the return engagement, so on to the next.
All right, thank you, sir. I'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
All right, bye.
You bet. Bye.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
Good. It's so lagging, and you know.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? You know what a lot of that has to do with, well, that means a lot of things, but also literally everyone is on the internet at home right now. So things kind of move a little slower.
Yeah. I mean, I'm standing, oh God, I just realized it. I went over my week because it was busy, and it was busy because I was doing a lot of online stuff. So I did 4 actual live things, 2 Great. Tutoring opportunities online, and 2, like 1 Zoom board meeting, and one Zoom, what was the other one? Oh, goodness. We had a board meeting. Oh, yeah, Poetry of Dark Angels. That is right.
Yeah,
I did another Poetry of Dark Angels. So I did 4 Zoom meetings. And the thing is, when you're doing Zoom, you have to look good. And men don't have to do this, but women have to put on a little makeup.
Well, maybe men don't have to, but maybe we should. I think that's...
You have to have your hair a little better. You know, you can't just walk around like you know,
I'm
in a nightgown. So
for Zoom calls.
But it's like work. So it's funny.
Well, I'm doing right now. I think I'm averaging about 4 to 5 Zoom calls a day, and it's you know, I don't have to worry about my hair or anything like that, obviously. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I actually at the same time I find that getting up and getting dressed to work is really a good answer for me anyway. You know, it'd be very easy to just stay in, you know, sweatpants or whatever all day, but I think my mind is better when I'm dressed personally.
Well, I dress on top completely, and then on bottom, you know, I'll wear whatever because nobody sees what's on bottom. But on top, I look, you know, professional. But
you're all business up top, but
exactly. But pajamas on the bottom.
All right. There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Well, I'm glad that you're getting to do all that stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. Yeah. And the Poetry of Dark Angel people, they really want me to come back. And that's like I'm reading other people's stuff. I read Jim's poetry. I read Cynthia's. I read some people from my poetry group, from Motivational Strips, and my own stuff, and it's a lot, but it's fun. You know, it's fun. It's something different, you know, and keeps my head from thinking, because at night everything's no good. So, but during the day and when I'm with anybody, I'm okay. It's only when I'm alone.
It's only when you're left with your thoughts that everything gets bad, huh?
Exactly. And I've taken to watch Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yeah?
My daughter started watching Vanderpump Rules. And I said, oh, really? you're watching that? And they said, yeah, you'll love it. It helps not to think. And so I started watching it, and sure enough, it's like eating candy.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, it's wonderful. Their relationships are so awful.
All right. So, Barbara, we're going to talk more about it, but here's what I'm going to do. Let's do this. Let's have you read, and we'll talk a little bit after, because I'm sure over the course of a couple calls, we'll get some good stuff caught up, too.
Okay. I wrote this poem last night. Somebody in my poetry group, admin messenger group, put a beautiful video on of somebody feeding hummingbirds, and it just got to me. So it's inspired by the person who put it on was Noe Basanto, but he did not do the video. He just put it on. So anyway, it's called Virtual Hummingbird. A tiny creature, smaller than my hand, sips nectar from my palm as its fluttering wings propel it back and forth, up and down, bringing joy to my life. End poem.
Oh, well done. Well read. I like that. I can tell you've been staying on top of it this week. You just got the momentum to it.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I've been reading a lot of stuff online. And, it's an art, Michael. It really is. It's an art to read online because you want to do it justice, the poem. And, you know, I read a couple of James's because they were short. And so I read, a couple of his. And I told him, and I sent the video to him. And if you want to see the video, it's on Poetry of Dark Angel page. And they have a huge following. I was shocked. Like 9,000 people on that page. So anyway, really nice. And the thing is, I've actually gotten into tutoring twice a week, and the woman asked me to tutor through the summer. So not only was this good to get on, it was actually good for my business because I wasn't tutoring much, and then I started tutoring her daughter, and she's just thrilled with it. I mean, just thrilled. And that she said, I want you through the summer. So I said, sure.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. So, that's good news, getting a job. Anyway, I'm getting off the phone. I will be doing my radio show on Thursday, Michael. If you could possibly call in, that would be great.
What time?
You know, my time 4. So it would be your time 2, I guess.
2 o'clock. I think I can. I will double check, but I will double check and let you know tomorrow. Okay.
That would be great. Two guys. I don't know if you two authors. I think you like them, and they're new to me, and they're new to radio, so should be interesting. Anyway.
Oh, so
I'm
you want me to stack the deck, huh? To be the element of
well,
chaos.
You said you would come on at an earlier time and then had commitments, and I thought maybe you could call in and
I can do it because I might have a window on Thursday where I can do it before
good.
I do another podcast recording at 6:30 your time. So
and maybe Stan will call in too. Stan is great at calling in, so maybe Stan
will
be on too.
We know how good Stan is at calling in, so fine. Cool.
He's great. He's great on the radio. He is.
It's good to know. Good to know. All right.
Okay. So I'll get off the phone and call back for the return.
Sounds great.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Bye.
And that was Barbara calling from a little place we like to call Connecticut. I was telling someone the other day, part of me was like, you know, I wish I had a stutter, but honestly, the only way I would, because I know people who actually have a stutter and have struggled with the stutter, so that's not to make lightly of it.
Right.
But I think really what I mean, and the person I said this to actually grew up with a stutter, they're like, no, you don't actually want a stutter. You want to only stutter on the words you want to stutter on. I'm like, you know what? That's totally
very
fair.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
That's totally fair. Yeah. All right. So it is time for us to head into the return engagement. Now, really quickly, just for the people who weren't here when we first mentioned it, I said I was going to mention this later in the show. We have decided to do a special anthology that is that we'll put together over the next couple weeks, and we're going to send all of the proceeds from the anthology sales to the American Red Cross for COVID-19 response. So if you want to contribute some poetry to this anthology, it's a special World Poetry Open Mic anthology for during the pandemic and for COVID-19. It's for charity. So if you're interested in doing that, just send some poetry to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form, indicate that it is for the COVID-19 anthology, and we'll put it together and we'll make it happen. All right. So now it's time to head into the return engagement. We need anybody who wants to call back in and read one, you can. Anybody who wants to call and read for the first time, you can as well. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here in the return engagement. It's been a great show so far. We actually had a new caller who called in, but I won't bring it up until it's time, okay? But before we get into this, I'm going to go straight into another submission that we have. This is from Megan Murdoch, and I believe this is untitled as well. This is untitled by Megan Murdoch. You ask me to look within, but all I see is my sin. Cobwebs out of control. I guess I should have hired patrol. I wonder if when I die, will I learn how to fly? They say your dreams come true when you're dead. I must stop living with my dread. Living with my dread won't help me. Most likely won't develop me. I just need someone to tell me, why me? Don't deny me. I just need to know why it's inside me. Please, don't hide me. Sorry, this is getting off topic. I guess I'll go die in Hot Topic. Living life, try not to fight. Not as hard in the day as night. This is what is within. Please, turn away from my sin. And that is untitled by Megan Murdoch. Very nicely done, Megan. Thank you so much. And if you are listening to the show, and if you know anybody who wants to send in poetry to be read, maybe isn't ready to call in or join us, feel free to have them do so. They can go to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, send it there, or in our contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net. Just indicate that it's a submission for the show, and we will get it read for you on the air. All right. Now we are heading into our first caller here in the return engagement. We're going to head back over to Vancouver, British Columbia to connect with Egon once again. Hello, Egon. Welcome back.
Hey, Mike. Thank you. You know, the program is really starting to become very addictive for me.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
I enjoy listening to you characters with your repartee and the various people that call in.
And, well, that's good to hear.
And I was also, you know, I was a little disappointed. I haven't heard Cynthia this evening. She's on the other end of town, but I'm hoping that she's keeping well.
I think she is. I know that she kind of went, as far as I could tell, incommunicado. She kind of took herself off the internet entirely for a while. She was getting pretty stressed out. I think she's doing well, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, tell me about it. I know that she's stressing. Anyway, I won't keep you very long. I know there's other people on the line, but here's something that I had had written, and she commented on it. She actually liked it. And it's called Sleeping Dogs. Let sleeping dogs lie is often said by those who are trying to avoid truth or open old wounds. To change history is, however, difficult without lying about truth, that is etched in time. Regimes may object, and so do others who may try to obscure what took place, but scars are still there. So when the next time that you hear the dog comment, be very suspicious and check why it's being said. What is it that is tried to be hidden from fact, hidden from the light of day, so we'll never see? The next time that you are told to leave sleeping dogs alone, throw caution to the wind and investigate it. The end.
Hear, hear. In complete agreement with that one.
You know, I'm a cynic, as you can probably tell by some of my scribbles. Anyway, it's fun, and I enjoy reading it for you and the rest of the audience. So keep up the good work.
Well, we appreciate it. I don't know. I mean, if that makes you a cynic, I suppose I'm a cynic as well. But I've never been accused of such a thing. I just like thinking about stuff, you know. I just kind of like trying to understand the motives behind statements.
What I'm trying to do, and then on top of that, of course, the challenge is to try and put it into some kind of poetic format. As you know, I prefer rhymes, although I'm starting to get on to free verse, which still has a certain rhythm to it. But, I enjoy this. And I hope that one of these fine times that we'll hear you strum your guitar again and hear your dulcet voice.
I definitely will when we can figure out how to do it the right way over this thing. I guess what I could do is, I mean, I've been having to make tons of recordings. I could always send JT a recording if you could play, I guess, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same as being able to do live, you know?
Well, you know what? Whatever makes it easy, but the one time that I heard you about a month ago now, I truly enjoyed it. And it almost put me, as I said, in mind of Kris Kristofferson, who's one of my favorite artists.
Well, that's a really sweet thing to say, and thank you. I'll see if we can do something. If everybody wants to do it, I'm just very cognizant of trying not to make the show about myself, you know.
Listen, that's pretty hard with you and JT around.
JT's good. JT's the one who keeps me from making it all about me.
Yeah, very true.
You know? Yeah.
Anyway, but keep it up. It's truly enjoyable.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that you enjoy it. We're happy to do it too, and we're happy that you're here with us. So thank you.
Have a great evening. Bye bye.
You as well. Thank you. And that was Egon calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, to lead us off here. All right. Getting ready to head back to upstate New York to visit with Zach.
Oh. The speed of the technology is awesome.
See, I can't tell how fast or slow stuff is really going because of the screen here.
Yeah.
Hey, Zach, how's it going, sir?
Hello, I'm back, and you're back. How are you guys?
We're about the same. we're doing really well. You know, it feels like we never left, but we're happy that you came back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It you know what it feels like, Zach? It feels like we're dogs waiting at home while people leave to go to work, and then they come back, and we're just really excited every time they do.
Yep, and that was actually one of my poems that I did. I wrote it from the point of view of a dog feeling sad that his master is going away, but staying because he knows that he's going to come back because he gave him a place of home and love. And, but I left it ambiguous enough. I left it open enough so that it could be interpreted from point of a baby. But that was one of my poems that I did.
Oh, great. That's cool. What are you planning on reading us this time?
So tonight, for this time, I'm going to read one of my latest inspirational poems, and it is actually inspired by my favorite line from a movie, which is Rent, which was, fun fact, was directed by Chris Columbus, who not only did both Home Alone movies, he also did all of the entire Harry Potter series. So he's a pretty interesting director. Had a lot of different types of movies, and so he directed Rent. And this is the first line is my favorite part of that movie. So it's called Opposite. The opposite of war isn't peace. It's creation. So take this time of isolation to make something that inspires a generation. A poem, a movie, a song. Something that reminds us that even though we feel alone, we will always have somewhere we belong. End of peace.
Nicely done. Nicely done. I think the inspirational things are really useful anytime, but especially now too. They really seem to matter.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate that. And you know, we were talking about making a website for myself, and I know that you were jokingly talking about masterclasses, and I thought maybe you should make a masterclass on how to make a website, and because I have the title already to go, I think it's going to be called smalltownpoetry.com.
I think that's not a bad brand, and if you start putting and actually we'll talk about this off air. That's one thing you might want to add to your book. If you're going to have that as your website, you might start thinking about making a series of things called Small Town Poetry, like as a little sub thing. But we'll talk about that separately. As far as the masterclass thing, the joke he's referring to is I kept seeing people put up things about masterclasses on things and things that there is no way they could be a master in. For instance, a masterclass on how to come out of the COVID-19 pandemic more successful than ever. Like, how could anybody be a master at that?
We haven't even done it.
Right? Like, we're in the middle. No one even knows what it is yet. It's like, right? So I started seeing
more like a TED Talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, fair enough. And I mean, I think the people doing it are well-intentioned. They're smart people. But I just kind of made the quip that, you know, I think I'm going to start teaching master classes on how to appear masterful while teaching master classes. As far as the website thing, Zach, I am anything but a master getting a website up. Trust me. But there's plenty of good tools and solutions that you don't have to be a master to use.
Okay. Well, you know, like you said, we'll talk off air, but you know, keep checking in on us during the week in the live sessions, and you know, we'll keep joining and watching, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Sounds great, sir. Looking forward to it. And we will talk to you. Well, I'll talk to you way before then, but we'll talk to you officially on the air next week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, sir. And that was Zach on from upstate New York.
Wow.
Woo. Fantastic. Sorry. Fantastic.
They got on the... sorry.
Yeah, I got distracted, but I'm just getting bombarded by emails in the World Poetry Open Mic account.
What?
Yeah, just random stuff, just random different things.
Awesome.
So anyway, all right, let's head now to Michigan.
Yeah, let's go there as opposed to the one I was clicking on.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm having a knife.
Man.
Ooh, I'm trying.
Keep it together.
Okay, man. I'm almost there. Okay.
All right. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan here in the number 3 spot. Hello,
yes,
Dennis.
I'm back.
All right. Yes, you are. You're very back. So it's been a good show tonight. It's been a really pleasant show.
Every night's a good show on World Poetry Open Mic, and
you know,
every show is unique, and there's always something special about it. That just people bring and leave and share, and you're coordinating it all. It's just good every time.
Well, that, you know what, I like your attitude. Like, I like the way you see it. And we really enjoy it. We definitely really enjoy everything that the poets bring to the show every week. You know, JT and I have definitely had our moments after shows where we criticize ourselves, but not anybody else who calls in. So,
Don't let me catch them criticizing you, or they're in trouble.
All right. So what do you have for us this time?
All right. Well, during this time of self-imposed confinement, we try to find ways to escape in our minds. So I'm going to read this poem. It's, the title is By the Sea, and it's a poem written by Enid Blyton, the unofficial poet of the month. So here it is. By the sea. The waves lift up their heads to see how far off is the shore. Then over they curl and run to me with a thundery splash and roar. They tickle my feet and cover my toes with thousands of bubbles of foam. And I say, I won't let you wet my clothes. You go home, waves, go home. So back they run to the sea in fright with a chattering, gurgling noise. They're gone in a moment out of sight like mischievous girls and boys. But then in a trice, they are back once more. They're much, much bigger than ever before. Oh, don't knock me over, please. I'm running away, and the waves are chasing me fast. I'm jumping up on a rock. Hooray! I'm safe at last. A poem by Enid Blyton.
Dennis, a masterful reading of our unofficial poet of the month. good choice. I mean, she's a good poet, and there's some good stuff to read there.
Yeah, oh, she has some good stuff. Sure, she does. Absolutely. And there are gems waiting for us to be found in the treasure house of poetry archives.
There's a lot of poetry there, isn't it?
Oh, you know it. And one of my favorite poets is Anonymous. I mean, he writes everything.
Yeah. He has the best quotes.
I know.
All right. That's where we got to. All right. Dennis, thank you so much, sir. And we'll at least talk to you next week, if not before.
Lord willing, of course. And I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic. And I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis Kalm from Michigan. He's the third caller in our return engagement segment. And now we're going to head to a place called Connecticut. And we're going to visit once again with Barbara. Hello, Barbara. I hope everybody made a sandwich. We're going to be here a while. Hello, Barbara. All right, she can't hear me.
It's me. Hello. Sorry.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. I was listening to you talk to Dennis, and I didn't know that he was off, so. Anyway, you mentioned that Egon mentioned Cynthia wasn't here, and yet last week I talked to her, and she was, you know, she had difficulty with her back.
Oh, really?
And so her doctor told her to lay on her back. And she was resting, and then she was, I don't know, feeling not that great. So I think the combination was not good. And I haven't heard from her in a few, like, days. So I'm thinking of contacting her tonight and see, you know, if she's okay. Anyway, in honor of Cynthia, I'm going to read from her book, Rainforest and Russet, and I'm going to read the title poem from that, Rainforest and Russet. In the silence between breaths, my truth rises. I fall into the space where the forest captures light. Is this the question or the answer? To trust this journey of closure? A new opening repertoire I dig for you in the shadows of dying gray matter to find a slip, a morsel, a foggy memory. How we set up your chessboard the night we met, photograph the pieces in their complicity to be seen as art. Oops. Goes on. The queens, their own fashion statements balanced in the spotlight. The horses rode across the checkered landscape, free of battle, scores or fear. Configurations came and went. We both knew the game transcended competition. Our strategy, a decades-long bingo of connection. Sorry, tango of connection. We played until slivers of dawn shone onto an empty stage. Now, at the threshold of rainforest and russet, ash into earth, to whatever it is or isn't, I am released. And that was Rainforest and Russet by Cynthia Sharp. And it's in her book, Rainforest and Russet. And I think I butchered it, but I tried. I could never read it like Cynthia.
Well, obviously, I mean, you didn't write it. I think there's a big difference there. However, very well done. Thank you for doing that. I'm sure Cynthia will be very pleased to hear you read it.
Oh, well, I love Cynthia. We're very good friends and always trying to get together, but can't seem to do it. And I thought I would do that for her because, you know, a lot of people are missing her. So I thought we'd try and hear some of her voice. And this is a good show, Michael. It flowed nicely, and it's not going to be too long. And considering that you guys are in separate houses, you're doing really well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I would like to think we're doing fairly well, or that JT's doing fairly well in separate houses or no. But you know, it's definitely, we're trying to put it together and do the best we can. JT is responsible for the flow, so credit goes to him.
Well, anyway, it's really nice. And like I said, I think it's very, very important at these times to support performers in any way we can. And so my daughters and I are watching as many performances as possible and saw something that, you know, the Disney on Broadway thing that was really, it's really great. And I just, you know, I like to pass on these things to people because they give us such joy to watch. And, you know, especially if you're used to going at least a show like every 3 months or so, every 4 months. We unfortunately heard some sad news that we were supposed to see Taylor Swift this summer, but they have not canceled, but, you know, postponed the show. So this caused all kinds of, you know, grief for us because we had to cancel our hotel reservations. It was going to be in Boston. We were going to have a whole thing for my birthday. But, it you know, we can't go. That's it. It's July. It's, you know, it's like the end of July. She postponed it. So I think about all these performers who aren't touring and all of the money that they're losing. It's really terrible.
Yeah, I talked to Barbara. It's pretty. I talked to a lot of them. There's a lot of people having a really hard time right now. Their incomes.
Yeah.
On, so.
Yeah, like we watched Jason Isbell and his wife. They do a show every night, for free, on YouTube, and it's you know, you can catch all these people doing this amazing music on YouTube and. You know, it's good to support performers. So anyway,
absolutely.
Getting off the phone and letting the next person get on, which is going to be Jim. So, okay, talk to you later and have a great, great week, Michael. And see if you can call in because it would be awesome. Okay.
Okay. Sounds bye-bye. Good. Thank you. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. All right. Let's go now to a man who needs no fanfare, but I'm sure would appreciate one. Jim from Pennsylvania. Hello, Jim. You there?
Hey, dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Yep. That's what they say in Pennsylvania, I'm told. That's kind of like going to Texas and being like, the stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
Oh, but hold on.
Yeah.
Where the team. Oh, sorry.
All right. Well, it's been a pretty good show, but we always love the brevity and the wit that you bring. So what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to do a cover of a poet that I'm familiar with that none of you guys have heard of before.
Such a hipster. Okay.
It's from her. It's from her book "Marigold Meditations" by Melanie M. Eith of Ivyland, Pennsylvania. And the stars sing. I swear, if she reads you her poetry, you will fall in love with her. Her words are filled with all the love and passion she is too shy in life to demonstrate. Have her recite her poetry for you. I'm telling you, you will fall in love with her. The stars thus sing their nightly tune. End of poem. And that is from Marigold Meditations by Melanie M. Eith. Check her out. It's from Dance in My Hands Publishing.
Hmm. No kidding.
Okay. Yeah, she's... the first time I actually did a full program, you know, to promote the book, I went out to Doylestown where she was hosting a poetry gathering. I think she does it the third Thursday of every month.
Okay, cool.
You can find her on Facebook. She's a dancer. She's actually published some of my stuff in an anthology she did last year, Love Strong Chord. Check her stuff. Check out her stuff. She's pretty good.
Well, very cool. I will definitely check it out, and I think everyone else should too. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. And thanks for sharing it and letting us, you know, we're always happy to discover new poets as well. So that's
yeah,
so
I've tried to invite her to YPOM and friends. I don't know if she's accepted the invitation, but yeah. Let her know about the show. She might be interested in coming on.
Yeah, cool. We'd love to have her if she wants to, for sure.
All right.
Well, hey, sir, take care of yourself. Stay safe.
I'll think about it.
All right.
Okay, I'm done thinking.
All right. All right. I don't even know what to say anymore. All right. Hey, Jim, thank you so much.
I don't know what to say either, lad.
That's kind of the point, isn't it? All right, my friend. We'll see you later.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Bye. And that was Jim Kahn from Pennsylvania. All right. Now, we are going to head to a new caller who is all the way across the Atlantic. It is in the early morning hours. This is Soft Spoken from London, the UK.
Hello.
Hello, is this Soft Spoken?
Yes, it is. Yeah, hi.
Hello, you are on the air now. I'm Michael. I'm one of the hosts of the show. You spoke earlier with JT, who's also on the line. How are you right now?
I'm good. I'm starting to feel it now. Actually, it's what is it? 5 o'clock in the morning now.
We have a caller who calls in from London when he can, and we're aware of just how early it is there. So thank you for calling and for listening and for waiting. So first of all, we always just kind of ask, how did you hear about the show?
So I've set up this Twitch account because I run an open mic night called BYOB Poetry, so Bring Your Own Bars.
Yeah.
And we're based in you can see the lyrical thought behind it as well. So we're based in Northwest London, and we've just been funded by the local council to do some online shows. And as I was going through there, I started adding just as many different accounts that had the word poetry in it. And I was about to go to sleep around about 3 o'clock, and I stumbled on your show, and I've kind of fallen in love with it.
Oh,
well, we're really happy that you joined it and you joined us. And it sounds like you've got some great stuff going on. So we want to hear about that and be able to provide any value and help what you're doing in any way also.
I've been going through your website as I've been talking, and I can see there's a lot of experience and a lot of talent that goes behind a lot of what you guys do.
Well, thank you, sir. We've been doing this a while. We've been doing this a while, and we're going to keep doing it. So we're happy to always meet people like you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the stage so we don't just talk this through. I'll let you read, and then we'll talk after, okay? So the floor is yours. Problem.
Thank you. This poem isn't for you. This is for my children, all four of them. Idris, Sakina, Ruqayya, and Ali Rada. My raison d'etre, perfection in the eyes of their maker. And, well, let's start with Idris, who is actually named after Idris Elba. He's daddy's little helper, always wants to come with me everywhere from work to the shopping center. And he's the older at four, as clumsy and as well-meaning as his dad is. Let's just say he's banned from doing the dishes or bringing out plates from the kitchen. But he's forming logical sentences and finding loopholes to get the sweets he wants. And it's charm in abundance, round cheeks, wide eyes make anger redundant. But you can find Idris curled up on the sofa next to Mama, watching Dora the Explorer mangling Arabic and English together. Baba, hola es salam in Española. Now, add to this mix of cuteness is that little Idris won't snitch on his sisters, even though they've taken the peas that they like to squish between their fingers before flinging all around the living room to the rest of, with the rest of their dinners. He'll try and help clean up as their adorable laughter lingers. And oh yeah, I should have mentioned, my daughters are twins, and that two, Ruqayya and Sakina, are nowhere near discipline, but man, you should see them when they share that look. You know that face that twins give each other, mayhem's afoot. And my heart melts every time they reach out for reassurance when they're shook. Little queens, my whole life, I'll protect you from harm and crooks. Now, Ali Rida, he's not born yet. He's coming on the way. Due day, any day now, no more need to gestate. And every night I rub wifey's belly and wait for the kick. And pretty soon we'll celebrate, but for the time being, I'll have to hesitate. Because at this point, I split this room into three. One group who don't know me and probably enjoying this poetry, and another group that do know me and wondering why I haven't mentioned my progeny. And finally, people who really know me know this story is really just mythology. Apologies for painting such a piece of fiction, but time gives you the chance for introspection. We have been deprived of a child thus far. An aggressive seeds we've sown and haven't reaped, and no stalks at our door. And now the mention for us is no chore, but due to no discernible flaw, what's in store is medical support, and I cannot take any more. Do you know how much stress it is for me to wait for IVF on the NHS? Over 2 years since we were referred, and we still haven't even started the process. Do you know how much anguish I go through at parents' evening sharing another child's success? God, oh God, know that I'm sharing my pain. Trust one day I too will be blessed. Writing this has been the hardest thing I've ever tried. A million times I've died inside, replenished soil with the times of cry, but my seeds will grow with pride. Supplied with the tools to rise against the tide, so until we go to hospital, I just rely on this poetry prescribed. I used to dream about having four kids like my parents did. Now, I yearn for just one when I close my eyelids. I never thought I'd say this, but I think I need to confront my biggest fear, leaving this earth without a little Abdullah to rear. But my tears are narcissistic. Though I pretend to hear others' pain, the fact remains the same. Not Brexit, not government, Boris, me. Actually, no one's to blame. My happiness lies beyond the mark. The 6 a.m. alarm's professional charm. It lies in my niece and having my own in my arms. You do not know the pain of every month holding your wife as another period starts. Pregnancy tests that seem to mock you as another window departs. You cannot see the hurt of me and my partner. Honestly, I just want to be a father.
I took my breath away, sir. Fantastic.
Great piece.
Thank you.
Wow. My friend, anytime you want to call back and share, that's lovely. And it was a really vital voice. We love hearing kind of different styles, different perspectives come in. And yours is definitely an example of that. And it might be 5 a.m. where you are. It's about 10 p.m. here in Denver, Colorado, where we're broadcasting from. And but that really kind of made me kind of sit up and have a little bit more energy. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And please, by the way, send us an email if you could. worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Let's make a connection so we can help each other. Okay.
Definitely. I'd love to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful day, I guess, ahead of you.
We'll talk to you later. You know what? Routine's out the window, so I think I'm probably going to try and go to sleep. And if I wake up before 12, I'll be a happy buddy.
We'll sleep well, my friend. Sleep well.
Thank you very much. All the best. All
right. Thank you.
Goodbye. And that was Soft Spoken calling from London in the UK. He's the last caller of our return engagement. The reason I said the last caller is because we had a very special submission. Usually we try to cut off submissions by 8 p.m. if we can. However, there's a few people that we understand they have a lot of computer issues. They're trying to get through. Excuse me. But when they can't, I'm sorry. I'm just tired, guys.
I know. You've been up
all day. I started on Zoom calls at 6:45 this morning. And I was up way before that. So, at any rate, this is a gentleman who has called the show many times. We love him. We really love his work. This is Don Estuana Hegelberg. This is a piece he just sent to us called Steamed Clean. The middle-aged sit on the middle bench, while those on the topmost bench, familiar with heat, sit and swallow the gauge which measures them. Below, young toddlers and their guides glide on wet surfaces back and forth, and the stream fogs the dipper which throws up onto the rocks. Hottest, the ones on the top bench drip in empathy, while those on the middle bench exude to accompany those on the lowest bench who sit in yells and laughs which are not wet in any way. Saunas remain the only way in which to clean from the forehead skin to the soul. Cheap, weak, deep, spiritual drips drop from the squeezed-out rag used to wipe the liquids of the sun from the skin. Anteroomed, we dress in the clothes of our social roles to act out our plays in the world of jobs and trade. The dirt of practice compels us to income again. And that was Steamed Clean by Don Hagelberg. Really well done. Really well done. Fantastic way to close out the show. Don, thank you so much. And we are always so blessed to have everybody who's been on the show here, Soft Spoken, all of the people who've called in and the regulars in our community. We really appreciate you spending the time and connecting with us on this Friday night, even though we're all kind of separated, stuck at our homes right now. This is a special place for community. So, JT, do you have anything to add before we end it?
No, just stay safe.
Okay.
Just stay safe.
And yes, within about 24 hours or so, we'll have the rebroadcast right around 24, might be a little bit over, up on the website. I had a few questions about this last week. So just to reiterate, as usually, we usually try to have it up by the end of the weekend at the latest. So just throwing that out there. Once again, we are doing an anthology. If you want to put anything in for COVID-19, we're going to put an anthology out on Amazon. The proceeds of that will go to the American Red Cross to help with kind of the effort with COVID and all of the funding issues and things they're running into. And if you want to submit to that, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or in the contact form, just indicate it's for the COVID-19 anthology. We're going to be doing about 2 weeks of submissions, and we'll put it together and get it out. All right. Until next week, everyone. From Hemingway, the studio dog, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, from JT and myself. Thank you so much for this evening. We love you. Until next time, keep on writing. Good night.